I guess no would be the answer.
glad you're with us, Skolik and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Golick Jr., Trey Wingo. What's up, boys?
Well, at least the last there won't be an encore. You're right. And the shoes you have to fill, at least you do it in great sneakers, right?
Yeah, no, I got that portion filled out there. But yeah, like everyone else is getting compliments. It's like, Junior,
yeah.
Figure it out, man.
You got some shoes to fill, boy.
Well, just for clarification, your size shoe is?
14.
Your size shoe is?
14.
Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Boom. You don't know how big an advantage this is when you're coming up as like a kid when me, Jake, and my dad all got to the same size. Yeah. It's just interchangeable
now. Worked out very, very well. For those that may not know, this is the last show of Golick and Wingo. Mike will be going to 4-7?
Yes, 4-7 Eastern. Chinee and Golick Jr., Chinee Agwumike and myself going to be taking over afternoons from 4-7.
This all starts August 17th, the new radio lineup of which Trey, you and I will not be part of. So this is it for Golick and Wingo, and this is it for me on ESPN Radio for, October of 98. So 22 years. And what's fitting here, I think, is when I started this show, it was me and Tony Bruno. And again, we were in a small studio, and our only affiliate was Chicago, ESPN 1000. That was our only affiliate. This was the first time ESPN Radio had been around, but only doing evening stuff. This is the first time they were doing a morning drive show, and it was Tony Bruno and myself. So all we had as an affiliate was Chicago. And as that show started going on in that small room there, in the morning there, because we even saw it when we used to be in studio, is cleaning people are there in the morning.
Right.
We're there with them when we get there at 4:30, 5 o'clock. Well, there was a cleaning woman there named Gabby who didn't understand a lot when and you'll get it when I say this, is she would clean and she didn't have any idea what the light above that was on above the door.
The red on-air sign.
The red on-air sign. So she would literally, while we were on air, open the door and vacuum in the room. and we tried to tell her, no, but she didn't understand. She was just doing her job. So we decided to just let that go and let that be. Basically, that may have been one of the first bits ever is here comes Gabby, the cleaning lady, and we would just be on air and you'd just hear in the background the vacuum going. And now, 22 years later, we finished the show in my basement where my wife always says, I got to go down and vacuum the set.
Yeah, no, it's
so it what you're saying is the circle is complete.
There it is.
Much in the same way the NBA has made the circle complete because it was a Rudy Gobert positive test.
Wow, well done.
That shut down the season.
Wow.
And Rudy Gobert started the first 2 points of the NBA's return to the bubble.
This time.
Unbelievable. You bet. Coming out on fire.
It was sort of weird, right? Seeing Rudy Gobert bookend this game with the free throws that won. Like, we couldn't get away from him no matter how hard. Because, like, you feel bad sometimes trying to, like, force a storyline like that. Like, oh, Rudy Gobert was part of the NBA shutdown. And now he's bringing it back. But he would not let it go.
No, he would not. And we'll get into that game and all the tentacles that went on between the Jazz and the Pelicans a little bit later. But the nightcap of the two games to restart the NBA season was, of course, the Lakers and the Clippers. And the Lakers come up with the win. After struggling for most of the entire game, LeBron James comes up with the game-winning bucket and also plays great defense on Paul George to make sure the Lakers close him out. And they split the regular season series 2-2.
Yeah, you're right. LeBron, as we'll hear, did not play. We'll have Dave McMenamin on in about 25 minutes. He was at the game to chat about that. LeBron did not play well, but save for that last shot where we inexplicably saw an NBA player follow his own shot. LeBron took a little drive and took a little mid-ranger, which as soon as he let go, knew it wasn't going to make it. So he just kept going, went off the front of the rim. He got his own rebound in around three Clippers and put it back in. And then you mentioned the defense. Kawhi first had the ball. LeBron was playing defense on Kawhi, who then dished it to PG, and he switched off onto PG. And PG had just hit a three with 28 seconds to go to tie the game, and he tried the three at the end there and missed it. So the Lakers get the win on LeBron not playing very well. It was Anthony Davis with 34 points in that one. 16, he was 16 of 17 from the free throw line. So he got to almost half his points were at the free throw line, and they got great help off the bench. So in a game where we're not going to sit here and break down the game much. It was the first game back after 141 days. Not all the principal players are there, especially, you know, no Lou Williams for the Clippers just yet, still in quarantine.
And so enjoying the wings.
To sit there and break it down, I think, would be a little crazy. It'd still kind of look at the bigger picture of all this.
It is wild, like, when you talk about the bigger picture, though, looking at both of those games happening, and maybe it's just because it was one right after the other, or maybe it's because we're so focused on all of it, like, and this is going to sound obvious when you say it, but you got such a sense for how much better the Lakers and Clippers are than the Pelicans and the Jazz. Yeah. Like, it was even coming back off a hiatus where you knew everyone was going to be rusty, those two teams already look markedly better than them. Like, that needs to be the Western Conference Finals.
Well, it probably will be. So, again, LeBron struggled through most of the game, but when it mattered most, he got the game-winning bucket and the clampdown D on Paul George before he was on Kawhi as well. Here was LeBron talking about what happened late in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I love having the ball in my hands, you know, late in the game, tie game, being down, being up. You know, we had a three-point game with like 40 seconds to go. We got a great look for Danny. He missed it. Paul George came back and hit a three to tie the game. And for me, just try to, you know, be aggressive. You know, I feel like I got some contact at the elbow, by Marcus Morris. They didn't call it. But, like you was told when you was a kid, you know, just to start playing basketball, if there's no whistle, you keep playing on. So I was able to follow my shot and, put us up for good.
Man, when is the last time you hear a player, I was able to follow my shot? You just don't see it.
No.
I guess when you're that close and you basically know it was going to be a miss, you know, you could tell when it left his hand.
That's like when you shank one off the tee and you just immediately start walking and looking for it over in the woods because you just know.
Yeah, you just grab the ball out of your pocket.
That's very true.
Thank you for saying that.
Well, for me, it's after I hit the second ball in the same spot, in the woods.
But the funny thing about that is also LeBron, again, first post game lobbying for a – should have gotten a call.
Oh, yeah. Why not?
I was surprised. It didn't feel like on the offensive end. Now, on the defensive end, I thought he got away with a fair amount, too. But on the offensive end, I didn't feel like he got a fair amount of calls. But Anthony Davis sure did, because like you said, Dad, I feel like every time I looked down at something else and looked up, Anthony Davis was back at the free throw
Anthony
line.
Davis at the free throw. It was incredible. Now, Kawhi got 13 shots there as well. But, yeah, Anthony Davis had 17 shots. Hit 16 of them. So, good start for the Lakers, as you mentioned. They split the series. And who would have thought, out of this first game, would we be saying who was basically shot a great percentage? Deion Waiters.
We all thought that.
5 of 10. He was bad from threes, 1 of 6. But he ended up with 11 points, and it was J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith, and we all wonder, well, would J.R. Smith come out of the gate? He played just under 8 minutes, had no points in this one. Deion Waiters, 5 of 10, had 11 points in this game. Off the bench really did well for the Lakers.
So to your point, let's not break it down too much, but here was John Berry on what he expected and what he saw out of a game, which in all likelihood will be the Western Conference Finals.
LeBron James was not very good, let's be quite honest. 6 for 19. He does have the 11 boards. He gets the 16 points, but he's off his game. Thank goodness for their bench. They played well. Kuzma, Waiters did a nice job. Caruso finished the ball game. So I don't put a ton of stock in this. Like I said, I think these teams held a little bit back from each other. I just want to see him in about 2 months.
Right.
Whenever the Western Conference Final would start, because I think it'd have some real firework and it'd be a lot of fun.
Well, you can book it. Oh, wait. Sorry.
Hey, now.
A different thing.
Wow. Done.
Thank you.
It's over.
So, Dave McMenamin again.
Oh, you can book it.
There it is. Will join us in just about 20 minutes. But coming up, there was the game before the Lakers and the Clippers, where a team was fighting for a playoff spot. And once again, their best player wasn't on the floor down the stretch. We'll get to that after this.
Golic and Wingo.
The Pulitzer board said the album is a virtuistic, as am I saying that?
Virtuosic.
That virtuosic?
Yeah.
That's how much I know. It's why I'll never win this award. So it being the last show, and my last show on radio, it with Justin Craig, who now runs ESPN Radio, started out as a board op when I first started out at this place.
And he, so it's going well for him.
Yes, it is. He figured and did the math. And October 12th, 1998, 7,963 days ago, started on radio. And the last show I ever do will be in bumped with every misspeak I've had.
Yeah, no,
well, it's... Which will make people... Hold on. that's not possible.
Well, no, which will make people wonder, why in the hell was I out for 22 years?
You know what? I like
some of them. A compilation of the greatest hits. Yeah.
Really just cherry picking some true winners out there.
Talk about the double album.
That might
The bonus tracks are really where we get to the goods on this one.
That's a six-disc set.
I was just going to say, yeah.
Columbia House cassettes, you get 14.
Columbia House.
What?
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Shut up, young man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, man, we did. You know what?
We were due.
Totally deserve that. Wearing that one on for sure. So we talked about the Lakers-Clippers game, but that was the second of the NBA's restart. The first one, of course, was the Jazz and the Pelicans. And again, irony, coincidence, or we will put it, Rudy Gobert scored the first and the last points of the game.
Unbelievable.
Some stuff just writes itself. But again, it was the Pelicans who are desperately needing wins to get into the potential for a play-in game to get into what would be the eighth and final spot in the NBA. And down the stretch, and by stretch, I mean the final 7 minutes and 19 seconds, which is a long stretch, there was no Zion Williamson on the floor. And Zion Williamson, after the game, basically said, yep, I was told I couldn't be out there.
They weren't holding me back. I did want to be out there, but I'm just working my way back into my flow. That's all it is. It is frustrating, but it's not so frustrating because, you know, like, I could easily, they could probably not even let me play, but I'm able to play, so I'm going to do as much as I can while I'm out there.
You know, in a couple of minutes, Zion is going to be like, I'm playing. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, right now, he's listening. He's being the team guy and all that because he wanted to be out there. He didn't want to be on a minutes restriction, but he was. It's interesting. You know, when we come in every morning, we get a sound sheet. And a lot of times they'll say, who does the sound? Mm-hmm. You know, who the sound is of and kind of what they say. And I was very intrigued this morning because I saw Alvin Gentry, the head coach of the Pelicans. And under it, it gives a line of what they're talking about. And the line is, and it's in quotation. So he says it, we wish we could have played Zion down the stretch, which really made me go, wait a minute. You're the head coach. If you wanted to play Zion down the stretch, you could play Zion down the stretch. But not so fast, my friends. This is Alvin Gentry.
Well, of course, we wish we could have played him down the stretch, but you know, he had used the minutes that was given to us. So you know, that's just, you know, that's the way it is. I mean, we weren't going to stick him back out there. You know, our medical people said that we played him in the minutes that was allowed us to play him, and you know, we'll just move on. I thought he looked good. I thought he had some good moments, and obviously, you know, we're a much better and a much different basketball team when he's out on the floor.
How tough is that? Yeah. Right? And so he played 15 minutes and 10 seconds. I would say 15 minutes was what the medical staff, he scored 13 points. He was 6 of 8 from the field. And in a close game down the end, as Trey said, the last 7 minutes and 19 seconds, not on the court. So Alvin Gentry had to just be, his lip had to be bleeding from biting a hole through that, wanting to put him back in the game.
And I think, I'm sure it was one of those situations where we all thought Zion might not even play. I think we had that in the question for Book It or one of the games that we played the other day about would he even see the court. And so I'm sure that was the concession is, all right, we don't even want this guy to play, but if you're going to bring him back knowing he missed time being outside of the bubble, you're going to have him on a severe minutes restriction. And so while, yeah, it probably had to be tough, I'm sure that was the absolute bare minimum they were going to allow, given the fact that the medical staff probably would have rather him sit the entire first game.
What I thought was really interesting in reading up on some of the things that happened in this game, Zion scored 13 points. So that gives him 461 points through his first 20 games. That's the most by any player through their first 20 games since Michael Jordan.
Yeah, pretty damn good.
Michael, I mean, you know, you just, in all the things that have gone on since March 11th, you forget that, my God, he really came out of the gate flying.
And he did. I mean, almost the first two times he had the ball, he freight trained it down the middle, got an and one. After Gobert got an and one, it was Zion who got an and one, and he freight trained another time and got called for an offensive foul for it. But, man, that's Zion's game. And the one thing you said before, Mike, and we might as well say it, we all saw that picture of Zion at one point in the quarantine. We were like, wow, did he cut up a little bit? No, he didn't.
You know, hey, what? Listen, he's clever still, angles.
He still looks. I'm not saying anything in a negative way at all, but he is still that big dude.
Yeah, no, that is still a big-bodied young man on that one. But it's amazing, given that, because that was my first reaction when I saw him. Because I was expecting to see this leaned out, kind of what we were told about a few weeks ago. And then when I saw him go out there, I was like, oh, he still moves like a gazelle out there. You see him push off and explode, and it pops every time. Like the alarming athleticism from a guy that's that big. But yeah, shout out to my still fellow thick boy Zion.
And they're four games back, Trey, and still with a couple of teams ahead of them before you get to the eighth seed in Memphis. And remember, every team that 8-9 seed, if they're close enough, will have a play-in for the eighth seed. That's what New Orleans is trying to do, and unfortunately wasn't the big start for them last night with that.
No, but it's interesting how much longer do you think it's going to be before they say, okay, we just need to let you go?
Well, the thing about it will dictate, if they don't have a shot for the playoffs, then I would keep restricting them.
Yeah.
There's no reason to start playing them a lot more when, as you said, Mike, you're going to get that offseason. They'll be done. They'll get that offseason. He can fully recover from anything he needs to and then start fresh again. So that would dictate it. If they're in this thing for that 8-9 slot, I'm sure he'll start playing more. If not, I'm sure that they'll be... You know, we're going to keep it backed off on him.
Be interested to see if they ramp it up for the next few games then. Can we win a couple in a row? And then that way you get that answer. You ramp it down towards the end of all this. Because there's a lot of promise. Like, Brandon Ingram looked great.
Yeah, he
looked on the court for either team last night. Came back out, found his jumper again early. Barely, I mean, he hit about every side of the rim on that last second shot that could have won it for him. So between him and Zion, that's going to be a hell of a combo.
And kudos to a big man, right? I mean, Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell drives at the end, dishes it to Gobert. They don't let him make the slam, which is the right thing to do. It's a tie ball game with 6 seconds to go, and the big man knocks down both free throws.
And apparently Donovan and Rudy have worked through all their issues.
Yes, it seems so. When you're on the court, you forget any issues you got.
Don't forget, doubleheader tonight on ESPN. It starts with the Celtics and Bucks at 6:30, and then the Rockets and the Mavericks at 9. And yes, you will hear bang at one point in that game from Mike Breen. Coming up, what was it like inside the bubble for the NBA's restart? We're headed to the happiest place on earth after this.
So for those of you looking to break into this industry,
yeah, don't.
You know what? Congratulations, and take that lesson right there. Cover both sides and you're good.
You went full Stu Gatz there.
Hey, listen, I mean, these are the little things you pick up along the way.
And Stu Gatz is indeed a little thing.
Yeah,
and we are very happy that he will be on the show.
Yes, he will.
Later. We will. We'll pick him up along the way.
And we'll lift him up in our spirits.
Yes. And like you did to his glutes, we will carefully massage some takes like that to make sure we got all our bases covered.
Try to keep that out of my mind.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I'm trying to keep out of my mind. Golic and Wingo with you, ESPN Radio and ESPN. Yeah, I don't know. We're presented by Progressive Insurance.
I think we're on news right now, but we're going to be on 2 at some point this morning.
Sounds about right.
There you go.
All guests join us on the show.
KBO and Bassmasters providing.
There you go. We're delighted to be joined now by Dave McMenamin, our Lakers reporter, for a couple of reasons. In normal circumstances, Dave McMenamin is out on the West Coast, where we're not in the bubble, so we didn't get a chance to talk to him very much. So we're happy to have that part of the equation solved. And also we're happy to talk to Dave today because there is basketball to be discussed. Dave is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. It's road trip season. Get ready with 5-Hour Energy. Dave, what did you think of the energy, effort, and overall play of the Lakers against the Clippers last night?
Guys, I loved it. I just got down to Orlando on Monday, so I hadn't seen the scrimmages in person. So this is my first taste of seeing what this NBA operation was like with my own two eyes. I couldn't been more impressed. Not only just by, you know, the effort by the players, of course, and when it came down to crunch time yesterday, you could have told me I was in an NBA arena, I would have believed it. But the entire setup down here, and I mean every precaution and every, I guess, just like the professional touch to it. It was great, and I the encouraging part was this was game one of the seeding games, and part of my concern going into this thing was, can this really feel like they're games of consequence when it really needs to matter, when it's an NBA Finals game? And those kind of concerns were, solved and went away yesterday after seeing the way those games played out. And I'm excited to go back to the arena in a couple hours to do it again.
Dave McMenamin joining us. Time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So from the games, and we're breaking them down some, but we're not going to get too crazy breaking them down in just the first game back. But was there anything on the court of play by anybody in particular on either side that may have surprised you a little bit?
I don't know if it's surprising, but the idea that Kawhi Leonard had 4 months off to kind of get his body right, and then just to see him go to work. And, you know, there was a time in that Lakers Clippers game where it looked like the Clippers were just going to run away with it, and it was just because Kawhi took the game over. You know, Paul George had his moments as well, too. He scored 30, Kawhi scored 28, but just the economy of motion that Kawhi plays with, but at the same time, the really solid, honest defensive effort that LeBron gave against him, to the point where, you know, LeBron put it on his Instagram after the game that he was laying on the floor of his hotel room. He was so tired. But I picked up on that. We talked to LeBron post-game. His energy level was so low. And I was like, okay, this guy is spent. But in terms of surprising, like, hey, the Lakers have to feel pretty good about themselves having Deion Waiters come in, score double digits in a game that matters. The first time he played in an actual Lakers game was last night. Kyle Kuzma, who looked great in those scrimmages, it carried over. He was great again last night. You know, and in the first game, man, J.J. Redick, you know, we're about the same age, and he was talking about the work he put in over the hiatus. Not that I was, you know, I go on these late night walks, you know, or I'd, you know, walk 5-6 miles and felt pretty good about where my pandemic body was. JJ said he weighs the least he has since Duke. And it showed. He was flying around the court and making plays. And, you know, even though they didn't get the win, the Jazz won the game. The Pelicans are going to be a tough out down the stretch here.
Dave McMenamin with us here on Golic and Wingo. Yeah, and sticking with the Pels there, Zion, obviously a strict minutes restriction. Was there any talk about how long that was going to last? As we know, the Pelicans have a legitimate shot at trying to get into that play-in scenario in the West.
Yeah, Alvin Gentry, the coach, didn't really get into, you know, the length of time. And then they're just, the way they've approached Zion Williamson, knowing that he has such a unique body, and knowing that he is such a, not just a you know, incredible talent that they believe could be the linchpin for a championship, but incredibly important to their business. I mean, he's a legit star, and you can't keep your eyes off of him when he's on the court. That they'll ease him back, you know, slowly rather than quickly, but you know, I imagine by the time they get to the third or fourth seeding game here, you'll see the regular minutes you're accustomed to Zion. And what, Zion had 13 points in 15 minutes last night. So hopefully, you know, you get him up to the 30-minute range and see if he can keep up that same type of production.
Dave McMenamin with us, our Lakers reporter, and it's his every intention to be in the bubble for a while because the Lakers have the stated goal of winning the NBA championship. So for you, Dave, so far, I always want to hear from this when people are down there and knew this. Take us inside your bubble experience. How has it been? And can you confirm or deny that you are one of the people that Rachel Nichols reported about that brought in full arcade games or couches to wherever you're staying?
I really like that report from Rachel. No, I'm not a gamer, but I did like overpack with random. Like I brought like probably like 17 polos, and I'm recognizing that we can do laundry here. That was probably overdoing it. But no, so far I got here Monday night, so and I'm on the tier 2 level bubble. I do this till late August, and then I switch into tier 1 for the conference finals. And finals. So, you know, I came in and we had to get a test and, you know, go and quarantine for 24 hours waiting the test results, got the negative test results and was allowed to be going into the arena. You know, it's pretty easy. I mean, staying in a nice hotel on a Disney property, get shuttled to the arena. They feed us at the arena. We have great seats. I could do this like 12 months a year rather than a couple of years. So no complaints over here.
Oh, that's great. All right, well, you know what? Maybe we'll see if we can just, how long could one bubble? Maybe that'll be Dave McMenamin's, McMenamin's calling going forward once the NBA season is over. Hey, Dave, we appreciate the time this morning. Thanks.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you. And Mike Golic, thank you so much for everything.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate it. And thank you for always joining the show for us and helping out. Thanks, man.
From the people who brought you Bubble Boy comes Bubble Man.
And quite honestly, be careful what you wish for. Yeah. We're not sure that this isn't going to happen when they start the season, supposedly, in December. So we'll see again where it goes with Zion in the minutes if they improve to try and help them get to the playoffs. But I know we're going to do trending and then talk college football. But I love thinking about the old stories, and it had to do with college football. So, again, my last show after 22 years on ESPN Radio, starting the morning show, which was 7,693 days ago with Tony Bruno. Our first guest, you know, our first guest ever was.
It had to be someone from Chicago, right?
It was college football. That's what made me think of it. Beano Cook.
Beano.
Beano Cook was always great. Like, give me a plate of bacon.
A plate of bacon.
And our first celebrity was, because we were only on in Chicago, Tony and I took a trip to Chicago. We did the show on the set of Jerry Springer, and we had Jerry Springer on the show. He was the first quote-unquote celebrity that we had on air.
Wow.
I know.
Strong start. Did he did he do any of the stuff on air? Like, no, did you guys have anyone uproot a chair?
Steve or whatever his god had his own show. Had to come in and separate you two?
But no, he was great. He was great just sitting around shooting the breeze. Yeah, it was amazing.
I feel like wherever he goes, there's just people have to be chanting Jerry in the background at all times.
Or waiting someone to say, you are not the father.
My God. It's, yeah, wait. If you see an envelope around there, run. Because you're probably so being ambushed. All of that is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
I mean,
no
why
contract,
wouldn't it be?
No compromise.
Sure, yeah.
Jerry Springer there. Well, since that was trending back then, we'll get you caught up on what was trending now, which actually, in a world, could still be Jerry Springer or Maury Povich or any of the offshoots of this.
That's very true.
Entire weird universe of paternity tests. The Philadelphia Phillies have canceled all activities at Citizens Bank Park, including a weekend series against the Blue Jays, after a member of the coaching staff and a member of the home clubhouse staff tested positive Thursday for the coronavirus. The teams have been scheduled to play a doubleheader Saturday and another game on Sunday. Meanwhile, after another Miami Marlins player tested positive for COVID-19, becoming the 19th member of the team's traveling party to test positive for the virus, according to ESPN and multiple reports. Yikes. Meanwhile, Angel star Mike Trout's been placed on paternity leave. Trout's wife Jessica was scheduled to give birth to the couple's first child this summer. He can stay on that list for up to 3 days and will continue his tier one testing schedule while he's away, which means he tests every other day for those who are asymptomatic. As long as this continues to test negative, he can return to the Angels without quarantine. So a little bit different from the NBA's policy when they leave from the bubble, obviously because Major League Baseball is not a bubble sport. The Buffalo Bills have sent rookies away from the facility for two players, including one rookie testing positive for COVID-19 on Thursday. A source told ESPN that the team made the decision to conduct the day's meetings virtually. Under the NFL's training camp mandate, players must register 3 negative tests in a 5-day span in order to enter the facility. Although teams are not required to shut down their facility after a positive test, the Bills chose to minimize risk by sending players home for the day. And the SEC announced yesterday that they'll play a 10-game conference-only football schedule, they said, on Thursday. The full schedule is going to be announced at a later date, but the league is expected to start on September 26th. Shout out to my fellow Libras. And the SEC title game will be on December 19th. The SEC will keep its format with the 8 conference games that were previously scheduled, but the league is still determining the 2 additional teams. What's Trending is brought to you by Redbox. Redbox has nonstop excitement with new movies and summer blockbusters. Don't miss Becky, an action-packed thriller starring Lulu Wilson, Kevin James, and Joel McHale. Visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch.
All right, Golic and Wingo here with you. So let's stay with the SEC because their announcement comes a couple of days right after the ACC announced their plans to play football, and it would be the conference plus one. And I think that they were hoping that the SEC would follow up with that because there are a lot of somewhat traditional rivalries between the ACC and the SEC.
Yes.
And the SEC said, no, that's not going to happen.
So basically, again, as Mike just said, they have their 6 normal, you know, games that they're going to play from their division. And then they always have that cross division rivalry and then a rotating cross divisional game. Now they got to come up with 2 more of those. But I agree. It takes away the non-conference game, just to show you the effect of that, putting it with what the ACC did. The ACC went 10 conference games and one non-conference, and we know Notre Dame is now going to play in the ACC. So just kind of an example of that, Notre Dame did have Arkansas on the schedule and could have had them as a non-conference foe like the ACC is going to do, but because the SEC is saying we're only playing conference games, now that game is off the table. So it makes you have to look for some other conferences, you know, that are playing non-conference games, look for another game there. So this is the way the SEC wanted to do it. We'll wait still on the Big 12. I believe next Monday they have a phone call, so we'll wait for somebody else to tell you what goes on there. But the SEC, you figured it was going to be this, but I am a little surprised they didn't add the non-conference game.
Yeah, I can't figure out what went into that, because we had heard that the ACC and the SEC had been in communication about things leading up to this. And you wonder if it was, you know, the ACC choosing to make an announcement first that might have pushed this over the line, if it really just is. Because Greg Sankey's been pretty upfront about his concerns with what's going on for them in the region where a lot of the SEC teams have played, the outbreaks there, and his concerns about the viability of a season. And so maybe it truly is just risk management in all of this. Or maybe after all this time, it is true that the SEC just means more. And so them playing by themselves is more than enough to ensure that they still have two playoff
games. So again, they have they're keeping their divisions. The ACC is not keeping their divisions. They're making it all one. And when we go to the Big 12, Big 12 doesn't have divisions. Right. They're just one big division.
They're just one big conference.
There you
baby.
Go. Yeah.
So here's Greg Sankey talking about some of these decisions, including the fact that he is not optimistic at this point that the way the country is reacting to the virus, that things will be able to go on when they're supposed to go on.
Right now, to say that things were going to be significantly better, there was discomfort. Discomfort for me, discomfort from a number of our programs. Not universal. This is an act of bringing people together, Paul. And I think as we look forward, we can get through kind of what's happening in the public health domain. We need to see improvement. We need people to stay healthy. We need these testing, the positive testing rates to go down. We're not going to eliminate COVID, but we can address the public health issues to allow our young people to be educated and to allow our young student athletes to compete in football and other fall sports is our desire.
That was, of course, on the Paul Feinbaum Show. Basically, if you want to read between the lines, what Greg Sankey is saying there is, guys, do the things that we know work. Put on a bleeping mask.
And there, another big difference of them and the ACC, the ACC's first game is September 12th.
Yeah.
And for the SEC, we've said September 26th. So 2 weeks later, because we had thought, that was one of our questions in one of our games we've asked, would the season start in October? And we thought maybe late September. So the ACC doing, you know, more in the beginning of September. And then their title game, conference title game, is either December 12th or the 19th, where the SEC has said theirs is going to be on the 19th.
Golic and Wingo reminding you, don't forget to listen to ESPN Audio at home via your smart speakers. ESPN Audio at home is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes for customization and service. To financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz Vans are ready for anything. And I think Greg Sankey, we've heard him talk about also, and we've heard a lot of the ADs, the people involved in this, reference that when the students come back to campuses, that's when the decisions really start getting made. And we know Notre Dame was sort of the center of the football universe yesterday for their news that they were this year going to be an ACC member, for lack of, you know, a longer explanation. Notre Dame is also going to be one of the schools to come back earlier. They announced they're bringing their students back on campus almost 2 weeks earlier on August 10th. For reference, Alabama right now has plans to bring their students back to campus August 19th. Clemson has plans to bring theirs back August 17th, in that range. And so Notre Dame will, by most standards, have a 7 to 10 day head start on, and imagine most other places that bring their students back around that time. And so you'd have to imagine that is going to be a case study that a lot of people are looking at through the course of this, especially a conference like the SEC, who's got the benefit of having their team start play almost 2 full weeks after.
And it is weird, because while we see the bubble sports doing well in the bubble, and we see the NFL and baseball not going to be in a bubble, it was interesting the way he put it, and he was completely right when we had Brian Kelly on, the head coach of Notre Dame, said we're in a bubble now. It's when the students get here that we will be outside the bubble. We can contain everything when it's just the athletes on the campus. Now, I never went through that this wasn't around when I was playing, but for you and Jake and Sydney, you guys went back for the summers, and it is just some athletes on the campus. So you can be you know, together just in one spot. But, you know, once, as he said, once the students get there, you know, it's how now, however they're going to do classes. I know some are going to be on campus, but it won't be always in classroom classes. So the mingling, I'm sure, is still going to be very, you know, they're going to be very prudent on who's around one another.
Well, that's the other thing Greg Sankey said, and he alluded to that on the Paul Feinbaum show. Look, this isn't just about the athletes. Going to be commingling with everybody else on campus. Yeah.
And I think with that, too, what becomes interesting is we saw Oklahoma announce yesterday that I don't think they had any positive tests in their last round there. And Lincoln Riley's been, you know, so conscientious about all of this and the way that he's approached it for that school. We mentioned Brian Kelly and Notre Dame have done really well with their testing, keeping people safe there. And what you're seeing, and I saw a lot of people referencing this on Twitter yesterday, Spencer Hall and a number of other writers, like, what you're going to start to really see as we go into the season, I'd imagine, is the haves and the have-nots when it comes to this stuff, because it seems like the places that have a ton of resources and the ability to test regularly and the space and facilities to make sure that they can do a lot of their activities in a way that is safe and provides for the athletes and all this are going to have a fairly decent shot going into this. It's everybody else that you're going to have to worry about, especially when those students get back to campus.
That's the great unknown here, right? We've had so much mixed results with just the athletes being on campus, and we've seen, there was the New York Times article, I think, that came out a couple of days ago where there's been 6,300 cases of outbreaks just on the athletes being tested in certain state in certain schools across the entire country. Now you add in the Gen Pop, it's going to be there on some level.
And we're still waiting. All the other sports that have started or getting ready to start are all playing, whether they're playing real games or had played some practice games. We still haven't had a football team on a field
hitting each other,
practicing, let alone hitting each other on a field, practicing together yet as a team. I mean, we still have all those hurdles to get over before we even get to an actual game.
And a lot of that is going to get ramped up in the, I believe, next week starting for college football in a lot of places. And so we're going to get early answers to how do you conduct a practice?
Yep.
How are you structuring all that? And I think that's why these conferences making these decisions right now are so important, because I'd have to imagine a fair amount of those mandates are going to be conference-wide as far as a uniform approach to training camp on your campus for a bare minimum. And then what you choose to do above and beyond that, I'm sure, will be left up to each school.
Well, right. And remember, it was Ravens coach John Harbaugh about a month ago who was talking about the protocols that the NFL was telling them to do and get ready. He was like, this isn't humanly possible.
Yep.
And then, you know, you could have had exponentially more players on a college football.
Yeah. And the one thing, by setting the schedule, that does help. We now know the SEC, these basically players and coaches have almost 2 months before their first game. So that's a good amount of time to work through things, figure out how you're going to do it, and cross your fingers that there's no outbreak.
Much better ramp up than the NFL. Yeah, like, without timeline, wise.
Yep, it is.
Longer runway.
We're back, baby.
Finally. Well, that'll end today anyway.
Our runway is very short. Yeah.
There is one way we know that is over, and that is this one.
Yeah, pull it up.
There we go. Climb! Coming up, the impact of what happened before the NBA tipped off at Disney. We'll get to that next. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.